Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video in his blazer, and he's on fire, it's John Mayer, money analyst, partner at SP Angel. Anyway, John.
Yeah, not bad, yeah.
Yeah, so that old gag, isn't it? What's a fireman's, you know, favorite bit of clothes?
very good.
Yeah. Okay, so Johnny, what's been happening? Wider macro. I know we've had a few requests for ARC Minerals because we mentioned them a while back. I know you weren't entirely complimentary about the board, the management there. But before we came on, you said you are doing a bigger piece on that. So we'll probably cover that next week. So ARC Minerals fans or detractors, next week, John will be covering a bit of ARC Minerals. But let's, before we get into individual stocks, let's have a look at the macro. What's happening this week, regards prices, anything going on that's significant?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting week. Copper prices went through $10,000 a ton. They've ticked back a little bit since then. And as we know, markets rarely go up in a straight line. But there's a lot of interest in copper, not just because BHP is bidding for Anglo American, but also very much because we can see that the world's automotive manufacturers are going to need a lot more copper for their electric vehicles. And we're going to get something like, or maybe just shy of 10 million new electric vehicles delivered to customers, or at least manufactured this year. And that is an awful lot of, I mean, that means there'll be at least another 500,000 tons of copper consumed by those manufacturers. And that copper's got to come from somewhere. At the moment, there's a shortage of copper concentrates. And that means that there won't be quite so much copper metal produced by the smelters that need those copper concentrates. So, yeah, everybody's looking at this market going, where's it all going to come from?
There's a copper price there. Let me ask you, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I was just thinking this when you said it, but the amount of copper being produced at the moment, is that enough for, like, let's say you say 10 million cars, let's say it grows by 1% every year, whatever, and obviously that'll compound up. But so is that enough to supply 10 million cars? Of course, we're just talking about EVs here. I suppose it is, isn't it? Because you've got other applications for copper. And like we said last week, I think it was, that where, you know, batteries are undergoing, you know, evolutionary change and they're getting better, faster. There's also alternatives to lithium. But as far as copper is concerned, there's no real alternative to that, is there? But I mean, you know, how much copper has been produced a year I'm putting you on the spot here, John, but
it's about 25 million tons of copper produced and consumed every year. And we reckon that by the end of this year, the market will run a deficit for the year, maybe 300, 400, 500,000 tons. It's difficult to really add it all up, but there are experts who spend a lot more time than I do working on that. And there is a consensus that's going to be a deficit this year. We thought there would be a deficit last year, weirdly enough, and it wasn't. The mines did quite well. But we do know from talking to people who work on these mines that the big copper mines in the world are struggling. They're getting deeper, the grades are getting lower. It's just all getting much, much more difficult for them. So I don't think we can rely on all these big old mines, you know, in Chile and Peru for, you know, we can't rely on their reliability as much as we used to. Mm. And there's been very little in the way of new discoveries in recent years. So it nobody really knows where this metal's going to come from, because it's not just
Mars.
It's not just individual electric cars. It's solar farms, it's wind farms, it's creating the connections to plug your electric vehicles into. It all uses copper. And okay, you can make electric cars more efficient, you can make the batteries lighter, you can get the range longer, but those vehicles are still going to be using a lot more copper than cars traditionally used.
Mm. I just wonder, there is that talk, is it Elon Musk talking about colonizing Mars, going to Mars? So Mars is a reddish in color, isn't it? I mean, that would be, surely the mineralization there would be very good.
I think that's more iron staining. That's more to do with iron than copper, to be honest.
Oh, okay, all right. yeah, exactly. Interesting. So if you look at the chart of copper and gold, they both had a bit of a pullback. And I think this is largely to do with maybe the Fed, you know, pushing out interest rates reductions, because, of course, copper is a play on the global economy pretty much. And so, you know, if they thought growth was incoming or being stimulated by reduction in interest rates, because that's gold. Look, so it rallied pretty much to what, 19th of April, and then it's had a pullback. And if you look at copper, pretty much it's behind gold, but it's, you know, it's rallied to what, 29th of April, 10 days behind gold. And had a pullback. But like I said, it's quite normal to have a pullback after a nice rally like that. Because let's talk about that rally. How much has it been? So that. So even... What's the pullback here? Yeah, it's only pullback about 4%. But it's, you know, it's rallied massively. So it's quite normal, isn't it, really? You know?
Yeah, gold prices were driven higher by a degree of speculation on the Shanghai futures markets. Okay. We're not sure what that was all about, but it looked as if there's a lot of physical gold buying in China, because people are looking to invest cash in order mainly for their old age and to pay for their ongoing healthcare, because China doesn't have a healthcare system in the way that we do, and not even in the way that the US does. So people are forced to save more for rainy day events.
So what are they doing in China then? Over here, of course, NHS pretty much is free, point of entry, I suppose. And in America, you have some insurance. But in China, what, you just have to pay? Well, how does that work?
Yeah, I think if you end up in hospital or you need treatment, you pay for it. It's as simple as that. And
no,
as we know,
you die.
Well, if you die, that's a different matter.
Yeah. But yeah, okay, so that's interesting. So,
but the problem is in China, the government has said housing is for living in and not speculation. So people are not investing in property the way they were. They don't trust their banks because they think they're overly indebted. They don't trust their financial institutions, as in their pension fund managers, because there's been a few scandals there as well. So
I wouldn't trust the government either.
They're effectively sticking it under the mattress.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, exactly. For a long time, property has been the thing in China, hasn't it? But now that implosion, they have to look elsewhere. And they go, what, cash, maybe gold. Oh, that's an old investment. Put it in that. Gold. That's good. So I suppose that is. Central banks have been buying it as well, haven't they? So, okay. Marvellous. Let's look at some individual companies, John. I know one of your favourites. Of course, you've got a big tattoo on your back, which is Cornish Metals of the mine. But what's happening there?
It is a personal favourite. They published a PEA, a preliminary economic assessment. Mm. These assessments can be plus or minus 30-35% variance of from reality. That's the idea. We think this is pretty well founded, because they're a good team at Cornish Metals. Owen Mylott and other people around him, they know what they're doing. It's pretty simple mine as well. It's, you know, this mine was operating in the late 90s. They know what they're doing. They're going to modernize it. They're going to make all the underground infrastructure just a little bit bigger. So everything should attract better economies of scale. The PEA shows $200 million worth of NPV value and a 30% IRR. So those things look good. They're not overly demanding in terms of the commodity price at $31,000 a ton for tin. In fact, tin prices are going up again, which is really good. And again, if you look around the world for new tin mines, where are they? You know, they've got problems in Myanmar. The guys in Indonesia are as likely to shut production as to open it, because the Indonesian government is forever imposing new rules. They'll want new smelters. They'll probably even start insisting the guys produce tin solder directly in Indonesia. And you can't blame them for it. So South Crofty is going to be one of the world's few new tin prospects or new tin mines. And it's easy because you're reopening an old mine. I mean, not that these things are ever easy, and they've still got some water to pump out of it, but everything's
no
on
dead
track
animals,
and
no
it's
dead
going
livestock.
In the right direction.
There's no dead, just water, no dead livestock. Let's point that out.
No, we have confirmed no dead cows, no dead sheep, no barbecue for us either. It's a bit of a shame.
Yeah. So the capital then, pre-production capital requirement, $177 million. How easy is it going to be to get that, raise that debt?
I don't think they'll have any trouble. I think because it's a UK project, because it's the tin market, which is it's not a huge commodity market, but they'll be able to hedge the price forwards if they need to. So the banks will be able to get the protection. Banks are always looking to try and make money off something with minimal risk. In fact, when I say minimal risk, they'll try and do it with zero risk. Mm. So the ability to hedge on the LME is important. And of course, the government is fully behind it. You've got Vision Blue and various other groups backing the company. So I don't think they'll have trouble with this.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? What's very interesting, actually, I don't know where they get money from, the banks, but you talk about trying to make money off minimal risk. And that's largely, I just launched my website this week, and I've written a book about investing. And I say a lot that private investors get it wrong because they don't focus on risk at all. It's all about reward. And when you look at the banks, for example, they make money, and they make money because they assess the risk properly. Because, of course, when you're investing in anything, you are risking. There's no reward yet. Of course, there's perceived reward, or hopefully there's reward. But most private investors just consider the reward. That's it. And so they don't consider the risk. But it's worth looking at. But talking about that, I mean, that's quite interesting. I don't know if you heard of a company called Invinity Energy Systems. Have you heard of those, John?
Yes. Yeah, they make vanadium redox batteries.
Yes. Well, look at this. Strategic investment, $50 million, right? I talk about banks here because... And this is like the size of their market cap it was. They raised $50 million. I don't know if you saw this, but a large chunk of it is from there we are, strategic investment of 25 by the UK Infrastructure Bank, British state-owned policy bank, and $3 million. So they're obviously keen on pushing this kind of tin is, I suppose, is part of the metals and commodities we need for the future. But this is in this space, so maybe. Tell your friends there to, Cornish Metals, to tap up the UK Infrastructure Bank. I don't know if it's the same kind of bank.
I suspect they'll be able to tap the same way agencies for funding going forwards. I mean, we've looked at vanadium redox batteries for many years now. Yes, they work, but they're expensive because the vanadium to go into the battery is expensive. And there are different schemes around the world to, Bushveld Minerals was promoting a scheme to whereby banks would effectively securitize the vanadium within the battery, because that vanadium is so expensive. And then there's another group, Largo Physical Vanadium. They have a fund, and the idea is this fund will lend the vanadium to the battery guys going forwards. Because what we know is with all these wind farms and solar farms, when it comes to the time when wind's not when the wind's not blowing and the sun isn't shining, then we need battery storage. So the more, so there's going to be a big expansion in battery storage. Personally, I think that that's the lithium. Most of that storage is going to be done by lithium-ion batteries because the cost of producing lithium-ion batteries has come down so much. In fact, I think it's come down by about 90% over the last 10 years. So, you know, vanadium batteries are great, but they're just kind of expensive.
Yeah, well, the difference, I mean, like I said, this is not for small places, you know, or small businesses or stuff like that, or, you know, or private people who want a battery in their house. It's, this is, like I say here, it's for large-scale, high-throughput energy storage. You talk about National Grid. National Grid is going to deal with this company. And the advantage with vanadium, if you look at it over the time scale of how long vanadium lasts compared to lithium, and I think lithium starts deteriorating, doesn't it, a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think a vanadium lasts about 20, 25 years, which is the lifespan of wind turbines and all that. And if you actually... you know, plot the cost over the time, it's very similar to lithium. Well, that's what they say in their report. But they said, but if you look at it on a, you know, for example, you buy a certain amount of vanadium, a certain amount of lithium storage will be cheaper. You'd have to replace it, you know, twice as much as vanadium. So it sort of works out on par. But they are sort of they're saying they're getting some traction here, and their forecasts actually, you know, for revenue, I mean, are off the scale. They are quite big. So if they achieve what they're saying they're going to do, so it's worth a look. Considering now they've raised money, a chunk of money, it may be worth a look in that. But different
applications. You're right there. If you look at the cost over a 25-year period, that price comes down. And yes, vanadium, lithium batteries don't have the same cycle life. And you know, there is a slightly added risk of catching fire.
Lots of that happened. You got a lot of lithium batteries together. There's been and in fact, I was reading one of their presentations in Vinity a while back, and they were highlighting in their presentation these places where these lithium-ion batteries are caught fire, you know, big, massive fires. And the difference is vanadium doesn't do that. It's longer duration, of course, and it lasts longer. So there are pros and cons to both. But I think there's room for, especially for, you know, if you're talking about national infrastructure, like National Grid, then they don't want to be changing their batteries every 10 years. You know, they want to be having for 20 years plus, whatever, as long as they can. So it suits them a lot better. And so it makes a lot of sense. Okay, all right. Any other companies joined? Look up. You did mention a few here. Was it Blue Jay? What's happening there?
Yeah, Blue Jay. Look, now that Rod McGillery's back in and driving things, they reinstated the JORC resource sat on the Dundas ilmenite titanium mineral sands project, which is good. They should never have downgraded that in the first place. But what is more interesting is they've taken on a copper project that is up at actually up at Dundas, so it's in the same area. Now this is it's a sedimentary copper deposit. Work has been done on it in the past. There's 1% over 34 meters, presumably seen in the bedrock. There are also other samples, 0.8% over 100 square meters. It looks like a very compelling project. And the great thing is, because it's right next door to the Dundas ilmenite project, they have that means they've got lots of infrastructure there. I'm not going to say it's an easy place to get to, but given that lots of places in Greenland are really difficult to get to, this is quite well connected because it's about halfway between the town of Karnak and the American airbase at Thule. So that actually means it is pretty well connected in terms of Greenland. So look, this is good. I mean, I think if they've got a sensible copper project there, they should look at it. And you know, they are talking in the press release about how close it is to other stuff that BHP is doing on the other side of the water in Canada. So there's reason to be there, and there's reason to work on it. And it might be that Cobalt Metals come in and say, you know, and run their slide rules and the geophysics over this one, because they're still interested in the Disco project, which is further to the south, and they're still running their artificial intelligence and human intelligence. They also use these days AI and HI. And so, yeah, I think...
Well, it's just intelligence, isn't it? Why it's like, you know, why we call it HI now, is to, you know, distinguish between AI. We are the real intelligence. We made those AI machines. They are artificial. Now we're calling it HI, are they? A bit catchy.
Well, I think HI includes you and me, Justin. I hope so, anyway.
Did you say here, Thule Copper will incur virtually no cost to the company over the coming years? And they put this in bold. This is, if you look at this on video, Eric Sondergaard says, "We note with high interest," this is in bold, "the endeavours of industry giants like BHP, who are now appearing at scale in the northern latitudes in search of copper." Searching for copper. The giants, they're appearing at scale. There we are. So, hey, so he's saying, yeah, you never know, they'll be sniffing around us soon. Yeah, at scale. Yeah, yeah. Okay. What's good news?
Yeah.
I like the way he's highlighted that.
Moving on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Blue Jay. You mentioned also Pod. Kodal Minerals. What's happening here, Johnny Boy?
Yeah, Kodal Minerals, there was a bit of news. They renegotiated their deal with Sui Chin. So that Sui Chin are being displaced by another Chinese group called Hainan Mining. Hainan want the offtake, the spodumene offtake, which is, spodumene is the raw material for the production of lithium from hard rock mines. And the Chinese are still very keen on acquiring more and more spodumene around the world. And so they're effectively buying out Sui Chin. And so it's just the deal is there. It's in black and white. They've restaged the payments in effect. So Sui Chin get pushed out, but they'll find some more spodumene somewhere else in the world. That tells everyone there's a buyer out there. And Hainan Mining are getting what they want, but they're you know, Kodal is effectively just organising it for them.
Yeah. Okay. So the Kodal price it's rallied strongly back with that in 23, and look at that from this level, this is port level pretty much. It did. I have to move my bald head. It did 277%. In 155 days, which is quite nice. Now it's back, almost back down at that low level, but it's, that was up to 0.938, 0.935, and now it's down to 0.45 or 0.345. So it's back down there. Do you see potential? What's the market cap here? You know, there's 88 million it's showing. Wow.
I have a holding in Kodal Minerals and I have a holding in Cornish Metals.
Oh, yeah, you should mention that. Yes. Well, no, to me, it's a nice transparency, but it's also, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. I see interview lots of people who talk up stocks, talk about stocks in a positive manner, and they hold no stock. And I thought, why don't you hold stock? Especially CEOs. I've talked to CEOs, interviewed them, and, you know, of course, they're bigging up their company. And I go and look at their AIM 27 rule and check out the shareholder register, and they're not on there. I think, why are you... You know, encouraging everyone else to buy shares, and you're not buying shares yourself. So, at least you're putting your money where your mouth is, John. Cool. So, 88 million. Is there upside there, John?
Yeah, I definitely think so because, I mean, it's in Mali. I think which is normally a pretty safe mining jurisdiction. I know there is some conflict in the north of Mali and in the Sahel region as a whole. But Mali's generally a good place, and generally the government is pretty stable. There's a military regime in there at the moment, but I'm sure they'll revert that back to a democratic government just as soon as they can, because that's the way things seem to work in that part of the world. Yes, I think the project will get built fairly quickly. It's a simple project, quick DMS plant. The long lead times have been ordered. I see this as actually a fairly safe company, and we're now seeing spodumene prices going back up again. I mean, they're not rising fast, they're rising slowly, but they are, the lithium price is recovering after being pulled back for about 6 months or so. So I think this will go in the right direction from here.
Yeah. I mean, you say fairly safe, you mean within that sector of junior resource stocks, I suppose, you know.
Yeah, it's all finance.
You're not compared to Tesco and Sainsbury's, are you?
Yeah. No, not really, but it's all finance. So I don't think investors shouldn't worry that there's suddenly going to be a share issue coming at them. I think this is, they should be able to do this on the cash that they've got. They've got 100 million in the escrow account from Hainan Mining. And assuming there's no way for Hainan to suddenly, or reason for Hainan to claw that back, and they might not even be able to claw it back, then this should all go ahead quite nicely.
Hainan. Imagine giving 100 million in your account from Hainan. Hainan! Okay, so this last one you were going to look at is Sovereign Metals. Look at that, John. It's trying to break up here. See that line I've drawn there? That's basically the top of the closing highs, apart from that one spiked a bit higher. Now, will it be that and come back down? Maybe not, because it's now above that sort of downward trend line, breaking the downward trend. So you may have got a higher high. It's breaking this level. Look, a couple of times it's struggled at this sort of 26 pence level, and now it's rallied above that. So maybe it's breaking out. Tell us the backstory on Sovereign again. Sorry, I forgot.
Well, look, I mean, I know these companies are never quite as safe as the majors like Tesco and Sainsbury's, but when it comes to you know, reasonably risk-free companies, I think this is it, because they've got Rio Tinto as a backer. They own 15%. It is a world-class project in terms of its world-class scale of rutile. There are not really any other rutile projects in the world. Base Resources, which is being bought by Energy Fuels Inc. Out of the US, has a project at Toliara, but that doesn't have anything like the amount of rutile in it as this one does. I mean, I know Energy Fuels are actually buying that more for the rare earth content in the monazite. But this project that they have called, it's the Cassia project in Malawi, it's huge, huge scale. It's looks like good quality rutile. It also has graphite in it as well. So they should be able to recover two commodities effectively for the price of one. It won't be quite like that. They've got loads of expertise in there. When you look at the quality of the people who've been joining Sovereign Metals, it's a fantastic team of expertise. The guy working with on the processing side of things, he was at Base Resources, and he was with Iluka and Asenco. So he's got world-class expertise. And that's what happens when you get a project that looks this good, you get great people attracted to it. So that's very important. If you've got good people on a project, you'll end up with a good project. So the Malawi government is seen as supportive. I'm not sure. I can't see why they wouldn't be. Transport links are good because there's a railroad that goes down to the port of Nacala in Mozambique. So that's settled. You can't really steal this commodity. It's rutile. It's an industrial mineral. It's not like stealing bars of gold or anything like that. So I think this is all going to go in the right direction. The project is not yet financed, but I just don't think they'll have any trouble financing this. It's such a great quality project. It's got great people around it. And that's, of course, why Rio Tinto are in there as well. Probably Rio's will buy this at some stage, but maybe somebody else will come in and say they'd rather have it. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they also raised money, didn't they, last year? So they seem to have 39 million. Is that US dollars? Is it, I suppose, US dollars? 39 million US dollars in the bank end of 31st of December. And they pretty much, what's that? They burned pretty much six million a half year. So, okay. Yeah, so plenty of cash as well, haven't they?
No, look, that's as good a project as you'll get with a great management team. And yeah, there's always risk. It's very hard to foresee everything in this life. But when it comes to mining projects, this one looks good.
Do you hold stock in this one?
I don't, but I can't buy everything.
Why not, John? Why not? It's
maybe
risk-free, you said.
I should go and buy some. It is on my shopping list, yes.
Okay. Marvellous stuff. Thanks, Johnny boy. And hopefully we'll catch up next week and maybe catch up on a bit of ARC Minerals for people who want to hear you talk more about that in a favourable manner or not. We shall see. Cheers, John. Speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.